For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer this morning. We come around the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you have our best interests at heart and the best interests of the church. And Lord, we ask that this morning that your revelation would come into our heart, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. This morning we're looking at using your authority in Christ. Now I have to lay down a few points of teaching with respect to this, because there is quite a lot of misinformation out there. If I said, "Oh, you've got to use your authority in Christ," immediately people think of you have to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. But it's actually a much broader area than that. And so let's turn first of all, to Proverbs 28 and verse 9. Proverbs 28, verse 9. When we talk about being in Christ, it's obviously different from being in the world without a covenant. And having the Lord Jesus Christ in your life clearly makes the difference. But in terms of having an impact for Christ in the world, and this is what our authority in Christ is, having impact for the Lord Jesus Christ in the world around us, both personally and also in a wider sense, the society, we need to understand just where we are and what we are to be doing. If you look at verse 9 of Proverbs 28, it says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." Oh, now that's a problem, isn't it? That's a real problem, because the Bible talks about the law of God's mouth. And the Bible also talks about, in the book of Amos, that there would be, at this time in history, a famine of hearing the words of God. So we know that at the moment, there is indeed that famine. There is indeed that turning away of hearing the law, the word of God. And it's no use saying, "Oh yes, but we're under grace, not under the law. And, you know, we don't have to follow the law." Well, see, that's really quite contradictory to what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. He said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments," telling us that there are commandments, even in the New Testament. It also says that we are to go and teach all nations to keep all things that he commanded. So we'll read that scripture in a minute. So clearly, there is this problem of turning away, or people turning their ears away from hearing the law of God. Now that has a direct implication on their prayers. And so we would find, if that's the case, that people might be praying and saying, "Lord, let this be changed, and oh, we want that to be done and that to be done," but their prayers are not having that authority backed and behind them that it should have, because there's this turning away from hearing the words of God. Let's go to Matthew 28 now, and we see here the basis of what the Lord has given as the basis of his authority, and therefore the authority that he gives to us. So looking at verses 18 to 20. In verse 18 of Matthew 28, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is the resurrected Lord, and he's saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He came to earth as a man. He obviously died for us, became a curse for us, went to hell, suffered, was buried, went to hell, suffered, and is risen now from the dead. And here he is saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And by implication, obviously, authority is under power. In fact, you can't have authority without the backing of power. So we see that all power is given unto the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. Now, the word all is important there, because all implies that there's nothing outside of his power there. So anything that's acting against believers and acting against the church and the interests of the church and the building of the church must be subjugated, must be something that is turning what is meant to be for the church against itself, and obviously against the will of the Lord. But all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth means that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his building of the church, is using that in the building of the church, and that's going to happen no matter what. Verse 19, go ye therefore. Well, why would he use the word therefore? Well, the Bible tells us, and we'll look in Ephesians, that we are in Christ. Because we're in Christ, we're in the body of Christ. He's the head, and it says all things are under his feet. And so, if we're in Christ, we also have that access to his power. And that's why it says, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So here we see that we are to be teaching people to observe, or actually teaching nations to observe, people making up nations, but clearly it's got to have a national impact, teaching them, the nations, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That covers the law. So therefore, those going out to teach people, nations, to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded, they cannot be people that are turning their ear away from hearing God's law. Can you see what I'm saying here? Because if they're made up of people that are if this command is sent out and it's for us to be carrying out, to teach nations to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, if that's meant for us, then we must be people that are turning our ears to hear the law of God, and therefore know the law of God, and therefore be able to teach the nations to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Okay, so even the world, which has, as I said before, a subjugated power, that is the god of this world, the devil, he is obviously acting against the will of the Lord, obviously acting against the church. We cannot give him place. And yet, the Bible tells us that there are people giving him place, allowing him to do things, allowing the enemy of God to do things and to come against the people of God and the church of God. So clearly that power that's been given to the Lord Jesus Christ is also the power we must have access into. Now we know, and we've stated it before many times, but we'll turn to it in Romans 1. We know where the power of God must lie. And if we don't know where the power of God is, then how are we going to be able to make sure that that power is used for the Lord? So if you look at Romans 1, we'll look at verse 16. Well, 15 and 16, because the preaching of the word is so very important in this whole area of teaching. So the linking of that power that the Lord has said, he's got that power, go ye therefore, that is on the basis of that power, he's saying in verse 15 here, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So you can see very clearly that the power of God is through the preaching of the word, and the preaching of the word is when the Lord can then work with his people. And if you go to Mark 16, right at the very last verse in Mark 16, we can see that the Lord works with his people as they're preaching. Well, in Mark 16, we'll just have a look at verse 15 and 16 first. This is 15 and 16 of Mark 16, says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17 as well, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. We can go on, but let's leave it there. Go down to verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So we see where the authority is. The authority is invested into the word of the Lord. And as the word of the Lord is preached, as the word of the Lord is taught, that word enables the Lord to be able to work with them. With them. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So we see that that part of that confirming the word is that in my name shall they cast out devils. So you can see it's not just I've got the name of Jesus, so therefore I can go and I can start to cast out devils. That's not what the authority, our authority in Christ is all about. Our authority in Christ is enforcing the word of God, the law of God, spiritually, both in our life, yes, and also in the whole society. But it has to come through the right means. As we see, we see that the nations can only be changed and the authority of God can only come in through the word of God being preached and taught. And it's the power of that word that comes, and as we believe it and preach it and teach it, and as other people believe it and preach it and teach it, then the Lord can work with us, with them, and confirm the word with signs following. If you look at Ephesians 1, and we see there's a lot in the book of Ephesians which talks about the authority of the believer, the authority of Christians in Christ, those in Christ. Ephesians has a lot to say about it. And so we're going to look at a few verses in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll start from verse 18 and we'll go to verse 23 of Ephesians 1. Looking at verse 18. This is part of a prayer that Paul prayed, and it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe." And we've talked a bit about power. "According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought," where? "In Christ, whom he raised," "when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to," what? "The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So of course, if the church is his body, then obviously those principalities and powers and mights and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, all of that's been put under his feet, put under the feet of the body of Christ. But we have to acknowledge this. We have to see that we are in Christ. We are in Christ, and by the fact that we are in Christ and that he has been given all power in heaven and earth, and that we are go ye therefore, that is on that basis that he's been given all power, that then we see where our authority is. We see where the power is in the Word of God. We see what the backing is, that is the Lord backing his word, working with them that are doing the preaching of the word, teaching of the word. And we see that then the signs can follow, which includes the casting out of the devils, which includes getting prayers answered. So that, as we read before in Proverbs about prayers being abominations, well, you'll be able to pray when your hearing is inclined to God's law, when your hearing is inclined to, yes, I know that I've got to, my mission on the earth is to back what the Lord Jesus Christ has said, to teach all nations to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded. I'm inclining my ear to his law so that I can teach that, so that I can be part of that teaching, that preaching. I can be part of the enforcing of God's power in the earth today. I can be part of that. And so therefore, your prayers won't be abomination. Your prayers will be answered. Your prayers will be successful in the Lord. So you can understand now why there might be many prayers that aren't getting answered. Many prayers that, people may be very sincere in it. But you know, you can be very sincere in your unbelief, can't you? You've got to be open to, Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." You've got to be open to his rebuking and chastening. And the church as a whole, right across the earth, has to be open to the rebuking and chastening of the Lord, so that they can get into a position of hearing his words, and in a position of being able to then teach his law, which is exactly what he's saying, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So they're in that position of being able to be useful the church globally being able to be useful right across the earth. And that's what the Lord is wanting to do for his church. Let's have a look also in Ephesians 2. We'll start from verse 1 and go to verse 7 in this. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let's just stop there for a minute. In the past, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were not connected to the Lord, not connected to his power, didn't have authority in him. You were connected, as it says there, to the spirit that is working, as it says there, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what you were connected to. That's who you were connected to. And how much you yielded to that spirit, and that how much of disobedience you were involved in, was how much your life was being affected as a non-Christian. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation. Now the word conversation is talking about manner of life, words and actions, not just your speech. Had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we had a different nature back then, didn't we? So there was no authority in that nature, no authority in the Lord in that nature. In fact, there was going to be a reaping of the wrath of God. All right. And what were you doing at the time? Well, you weren't listening to the law of God. You weren't heeding to God's words. You were looking at your conversation being in the lusts of your flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And that's the way of the world. This is why it is so very important not to conform to this present evil world, but to conform to the image of Christ, to be like him, to be in him, to understand him, to grow in the knowledge of him. Verse 4. So we were like that. We were like that. But God is saying, you can't be like that. You can't be acting like that or thinking like that anymore. And this is what it says from verse 4. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, so no longer are we down in the dirt and filth of sin, but we've been raised up, as it says there, raised us up together, and now we're seated in heavenly places. Notice it uses the word in Christ Jesus. So therefore we are above those principalities and powers and devils. We're above all of that. We're above them. And of course, if we're heeding the Lord, we're in that position of authority to be able to enforce his word on the earth, both in prayer, both in command, in prayer and command, and to be able to walk in that victory that has been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us, and we should say, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God always causes us to triumph in Christ. This is a triumphant person who's walking in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We certainly didn't deserve it. In fact, as we read before in verse 3, we were children by nature, the children of wrath. So that's what we were by nature. Now we have the divine nature. We've been born of the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, the less. So we know that now we are people who have been changed, people who have been raised up spiritually to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we need to see ourselves like that and to see, well, what is the mission on the earth? What is the Great Commission? What do we have to do? What do we have to get on board? We have to get on board this preaching, don't we? We have to get on board this fact that all nations have to be affected and changed and taught to observe what Christ has commanded. Can you see that? We've got to be people that are ready to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And preaching has to be top of mind of the church, top of mind of believers. Now, you personally might not have a pulpit preaching ministry. That's fine. The Lord puts various people in those positions. But you personally are responsible to be part of that whole commission of the church that Christ is building to teach all nations. Okay, so you can't say, well, I'm not called to preach, so therefore I'm not part of that commission of the church. That's wrong completely. There's all types of things you can do to back the preaching. You can be a person that is backing it in many, many different ways, as well as speaking the word in due season, because the Lord will give you opportunities to speak the word at times and to preach the word even to those you may not expect. But the Lord is opening doors all the time, and that opening of doors and hearts of people will continue right into the future. Let's continue on. Ephesians 4, start from verse 21. I encourage you to read right through Ephesians, but I'm just touching on some areas here. Ephesians 4, 21 to 27. And it says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Where's the truth? In Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So what's that old man, that old inner man, isn't it? That was dead in trespasses and sins. Okay? We've got to put that off, the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We have to have that renewing, that sanctification happening in our lives. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What's that new man? Well, that's the new inner man, isn't it? It's been created in Christ Jesus, that new inner man. All right, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's a new that spirit is perfect. All right, it's sinless, new inner man. All right, what's the problem? Well, you have to also be renewed in your mind, don't you? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, but you also got to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So you've got to train your body, get your body in line as well. See yourself as being part of this great commission to teach all nations. And you're doing your part. And you seek the Lord. What is my part in this? As I said before, it may not be a pulpit type ministry. I know mine is. Praise the Lord for that. I'm happy. But everything that I'm doing in this type of ministry is accredited to the Lord. In other words, every skill that I have has been given to me by Him. That's the graces that he's given to me. And there's graces he's given to you that he has built into your inner man, your new inner man. He's built things into you to be able to do things for him. Okay? You might be a person that's able to teach, for example, or a person who's able to work with various sections of the community. Whatever the Lord has given to you, what graces you have, that talents and so on, you need to now be bringing that to bear in this great commission of teaching all nations to observe whatsoever Christ has commanded. So, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man. So this new man is going to be thinking the right way, who you are in Christ, what power you have in Christ, what authority you have in Christ, what strength you have in Christ, and so on. Which after God is created in righteousness, you are in right standing with God. You are right with God now. You're no longer a sinner. What a satanic doctrine that is. Oh, we're just sinners saved by grace. No, no. If you're a born-again believer, you are not a sinner. You are a righteous saint. A sinner is a servant of sin. You are not a servant of sin. You are a servant of righteousness. Okay? You're not a servant of the devil. You're not that anymore. And so you've got to put off that type of thing, that former conversation, and think of yourself in the right way. And this is the right way to be thinking. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every truth, every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Which implies that you can give place to the devil. And that's how the devil can get inroads, isn't it? He gets place in people's lives. Now, it doesn't have to happen in a Christian's life. You don't have to give him place in your thinking or in your actions, in your conversation. You don't have to give him place in your life. He doesn't have to have that place. And the Bible gives us a commandment here, neither give place to the devil. And we could go on further there. There's a lot more that we could speak about, but there's other things I want to keep on going into. Look at Ephesians 5, verses 6 to 11. Ephesians 5, verses 6 to 11. Verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Okay, there's been a lot of deception, and there is a lot of deception with vain words. And notice, one of the big problems happening to the modern churches now are vain words coming in, or that have come in, I should say. Those vain words, such as in the modern versions, and wrong doctrines and wrong teachings and wrong interpretation of Scripture and so on. That only brings them into the category of disobeying the Lord. It's not a good category to be in. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. So you have to be separate from that type of thing. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So if you think about where light comes from, and we've been talking about authority and agreeing and turning your ear to the word of the Lord, to hearing God's law, hearing God's word. Well, God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we should have the light of God in us, shining more and more as we go forward in the Lord. And that's why it says, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's part of our authority in Christ, is to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. We now have, as long as we put on that new man, as long as we are not partaking with those who are deceiving with vain words, as long as we're not walking in darkness, but walking as children of light and proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, then we are able to reprove, that is, come against the works of darkness, the unfruitful works of darkness, and certainly have no fellowship with them. Certainly have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We could go through a long list of what the unfruitful works of darkness are, but you realise that if you're in the compromise area, you have no authority to be able to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. Okay? Because you've been undermining yourself. Your prayers are abomination. You've been undermining yourself by allowing darkness to come in rather than light. But as you get on board and understand, well, what is the Lord wanting to accomplish on the earth today? Well, He wants the nations to be taught to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded them. He wants the nations to change. In fact, when you look at when Christ returns, there's going to be the presence of goat nations and sheep nations. Sheep nations implies nations that are completely Christian. At the moment on the earth, it'd be difficult to point to a sheep nation, which tells us that sometime before Christ returns, there's got to be whole nations completely converted. Not just one. I would say many. And also there'll be the presence of goat nations. Those nations which will be manifestly unchristian, non-Christian. Also, let's have a look at Ephesians 6. This is the classic one that people will turn to when they talk about authority in Christ. Of course, we've been building up to this and looking at this. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Notice it says, "in the Lord." If you're not strong in your own strength, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What's He been saying right through? Well, you're in Christ. You're now in that redeemed state. You're above and not beneath. In other words, you're in heavenly places. You've got the new man now. You put on that new man. You don't compromise with darkness. Okay? So now, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11, put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, here's our authority in full operation now. We'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why should we? Why is that needed? Well, what's the wiles of the devil? Individually, yes. He's doing things against you and me. And we certainly have to be people that know about his devices. The Bible says we should not be ignorant of the devil's devices, of should not be ignorant of that. But also we need to understand that the church as a whole must be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because the devil doesn't want the church to succeed. He doesn't want multitudes converted. He certainly doesn't want nations taught to observe the commandments of Christ. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So yes, there are devils out there in operation, doing the will, not of God, but the will of their master, Satan. But God has equipped his church to be able to walk, as the book of Revelation talks about, walk as one man, as one man. Okay, Ephesians 4 talks about as one man, the church being like one man. Imagine the church as one man walking across the earth, teaching not a million different contradictory doctrines, but one word, one truth, one gospel, one way. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Notice he uses the word ye, ye. I think he's talking about collectively here. Yes, it applies to you individually. You should be able to stand in the evil day, but really, are we living in an evil day now? It could get worse. The church has to be able to stand, but we're seeing it's not the case amongst many at the moment. Okay. Has to be a reversal of this. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And clearly, if you look at it in the big picture of Ephesians, it's talking about the church as one man, having that gospel of peace shod. Okay? To be able to do what Ephesians 28 and Mark 16 is talking about. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So if the wicked is shooting a fiery dart, saying, you're going to close down, you're not essential, you should be able to quench that. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here we see the sword of the Spirit. Spirit, capital S. Holy Ghost backs the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Also, your prayers. Your prayers are affected as well. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in Christ, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There's the great commission there, that the utterance may be made known, that the mystery of the gospel may be made known, that people may be able to speak boldly and preach boldly and teach boldly. Imagine a whole church, the whole church walking as one man and praying with all prayer, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's more that I want to talk about. We didn't get to the book of James, for example. So we'll go into part two next time. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you and praise you. Thank you for what the Lord Jesus has done. He's saved us. He's raised us up to be seated in heavenly places. We are in a place of victory. Thank you, Lord, for that. Father, reveal that to us all in a greater measure, both so that we understand it individually in our lives, but also the way the church must be for the future. In the name of Jesus.